Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
What I want to preach to you this morning is the very Word of God. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis and chapter 17. I'm told that tour guides often in Israel, when they get on the bus, they start out by saying Israel is a land that is 300 miles long, 30 miles wide, and 3,000 years deep. The land of God, the land of God's people, God's chosen people. It is the only nation in the world that lives on the same land, bears the same name, speaks the same language, and worships the same God, and it has done it for 3,000 years. This is a land promised to Abraham. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning about the Abrahamic covenant. I will say this before I read anything. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? It's going to be fulfilled. No matter what man does in this world, it is going to be fulfilled. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. It'll be completely fulfilled during the millennial reign of Christ. God made a promise with Abraham, the seed of Abraham. They are a covenant people. This covenant, this promise, was repeated, write it down, 46 times in the Word of God. 46 times the land of Israel, I'm going to have a lot to say about it, was promised to the seed of Abraham. I will say this. Israel today is not a Christian nation. Israel today is a secular nation. But I will also say this. More and more Jews are getting born again. And the Church of Jesus Christ really is flourishing. You talk to our missionaries in the land of Israel. It's interesting to me. It started. The church started in Israel. The first church was made up of the apostles were Jews. And the first church was the church of Jerusalem. And it reached the entire world in that first century. And I believe it's going to end in Israel as well. And it's amazing how many people are going back to Israel. How many people are returning to the land. Now some of them, everything Israel does is not right. Some of the most liberal people in America are Jews. But there's God made a promise to Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis and chapter 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant, my promise, between me and thee. And I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God, as creator Jehovah, created this world, and he has the right to give that land to the seed of Abraham. It is sealed, stamped and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. And one day the high sheriff of heaven recorded in the high courts of heaven. And one day the high sheriff of heaven is going to return to this earth and execute that title. The land is Israel's. The land belongs to the seed of Abraham. All over the world, people have been migrating from one continent to the other continent for eons of time. All over the world, one tribal people takes over the area of another people. The strongest nation wins. That's how it's always worked. But God made a promise to Israel. And that promise, by the way, I'm going to stand with God. Every time. You know, maybe put this in its context. From Abraham to Noah was 10 generations. That's how Abraham knew to honor God. He was taught it. From Noah to Adam was another 10 generations. In that span of 20 generations, man messed up everything twice. He did it in the garden, and then the world got so bad that the world had to be flooded. Man just keeps messing things up. Man, who in his self-promoting false intelligence, pseudo-intelligence, thinks he knows everything. I'm saying there's a book that God has given us, and in that book it says there is a land that has been given to the seed of Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. You know, 6 weeks ago, Hamas brutally entered the land of Israel. Thousands were wounded and still are being wounded. Hundreds were killed. 240 plus were taken hostage. They tried to impose their will upon Israel. It's happened before. I'm going to go to that in just a moment. But I want you to know that where Israel is today is not all the nation Israel. We're going to find that out in just a moment. It's for the armies of this world, it's going to get worse. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Tribal people. Everybody in the earth is a tribal people, whether we like to admit that or not. That's the way it is. And Abraham was told by God, I want you to leave home. I want you to leave the land of Ur. It is a wicked and idolatrous and a nation full of abominations. And I want you to go to a land, and I'll tell you where that land is when you get there. And I'll make you a promise, and he promises it 46 times. He said, you will inhabit that land. That land will belong to you and your seed and your generations after you, and it'll be an everlasting covenant. Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then his 12 boys. Abraham was a family man. That's the first thing I want to say here this morning. When Jacob went into the land of Egypt, you remember the Bible story and the Bible account, he had 70 souls. He went in a family, 70 souls, came out a nation 200 million strong. And God blessed the seed of Abraham. Go to Genesis in chapter 12 again. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Know this, God is not a racist. God doesn't see the color of anybody's skin. Forget your traditions. I forget my traditions, my forefathers before me. God is not a racist. God looked down from heaven and he saw a man. This is how merciful God is. He provided for Adam. He provided for Eve. The messianic promise is made there in the book of Genesis. A savior is going to come. And then the earth got wicked. The earth just turned from God. In 10 generations, the whole world turned from God and was doing wicked, abominable things just like they're doing today. And God found one man that was worshiping him. And he knew how to worship God. Noah knew how to worship God because of his great-great-grandpa, Adam. And it was passed down, the line of Seth. And so he honored God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah built an ark, and God flooded the earth and said he'd never do it again, but he judged the whole earth by way of water. And he told Noah, now you replenish the earth, you multiply, and then 10 generations after that, here's the world wicked again. Man left to his own devices is a colossal failure. No way in the world science is going to fix this world. Politics are not going to fix this world. Don't think for a moment that the church is going to usher in the kingdom of Christ. Man, we can't even get along with one another. No how, no way. What's going to happen is the King of Kings is going to return to this earth. He's going to rapture the church before that. So let me give you the little timeline for those that are pretty new in the faith. So here's Abraham. God makes Abraham a promise. God says, through your lineage, I'm going to bring the Messiah. Through your lineage, through your 12 grandsons, great-grandsons, there's going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're going to inhabit the land that I promise you, and it'll be an everlasting covenant. It'll be theirs forever. And Jesus comes through that lineage, and nobody in the Old Testament, not a single Old Testament prophet, ever saw the church of Jesus Christ coming. And you know what the church is? I'm getting ahead of myself, but the church is God's mercy upon this world. It's God saying, and God's not done with Israel. God's saying, Israel, you've turned your back on me. You've rejected me, John chapter 1. So I'm going to raise up the church. He raises up the church. And it's God telling the whole world, I'm going to give you one more chance. One more chance to hear the gospel. One more chance. And then we have the Great Commission, the great mandate. Paul said, this is the acceptable thing for all men to hear, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The church is God's mercy being lived out. 2,000-year period of time. We're right here at the end of the church age. What an opportunity we have to raise the flag, to tell people that Jesus saves. Don't get all caught up in all the sideline stuff. The most important message in the world is Jesus saves. Amen. It is not politics. It is not being good. It is not building some buildings. It's that Jesus saves. Genesis, we read here in chapter 11 and verse 31 and 32, and also in Genesis in chapter 12, that God's people are a patriarchal people. Also that they are a precious people, precious to God. Zechariah 2 and verse 8 says that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that riseth up against thee thou shalt condemn. Zechariah 2:5, for I will be a wall of fire about her. God's people, Israel, when I'm saying God's people, I'm saying Israel this morning, is a promised people. They are a protected people. The world again and again has tried to destroy Israel. Furious attempts to destroy Israel. You can go back to Egypt, to Babylon, to Persia, to Greece, to Rome, to France, to Spain, to Germany, to Russia. They have all tried to wipe Israel out. From the river to the sea is the mantra of Hamas. By the way, Hamas is, boy, I've messed my outline all up, so just kind of pick up everything you can. Hamas is not a nation. It is a terrorist group. Palestinians are really not a nation. Genetically, they are traced back to the Canaanites. You say, well, where'd that Palestinian, where did that come from? Where did the Palestinians come from? Where'd that word come from? The Roman Empire. They named the whole region Palestinia. And so everybody that was there was considered a Palestine, all right? And what they were is descendants of the land of Canaan and then mixed in with Egyptians. Man, my mind is racing. So I need God to settle my mind down here so I got know exactly how I want to say this. God's people are a protected people, a precious people, a family people, a people of promise. They have been promised the land of Israel. I'm going to tell you what that is here in just a moment. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in the world in which we live. I never thought I would see the day when 500 constituents of our government in Washington would sign a letter of intent to turn against Israel. Never thought I would see the day where all of the pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian rallies taking place, and you know it's coming out of the hotbed of so many of the universities, and that's what they've been taught for. We've been poisoned as a nation, and it's just like everybody's against Israel, and man, we cannot allow our knees to weaken as we stand with Israel. You know, we've gotten more blessings by standing with Israel than we ever gave to Israel in return. This country has been blessed again and again and again by some of our deepest and best thinkers and philosophers, by inventions, by people that God has blessed with finance, and they're able to, this country, this nation has prospered because America has always been a friend to Israel. And God forbid that we would ever turn our back on Israel. Let it be said that America is a friend of Israel. It isn't that Israel's doing everything right. It isn't that Israel can't improve on what they're doing. They certainly can. They're people made of clay. Some of the worst people in the world are over there. I know that. And you can look at any nation and see that. But God has made a promise to Israel. And I know how this thing is going to end. Anti-Semitism. 500 anti-Semitism. I'm trying to look for my stats. Here they are. There have been 832 anti-Semitic attacks since October the 7th. 28 per day in America. That's over one per hour. You're not hearing it on a lot of the news. In fact, I wouldn't trust any news outlet. None whatsoever. Man, you go to the Word of God. You get your info from God, and He is going to bless. So it's a precious people, a promised people, a protected people. They're not going to wipe Israel off the face of the map, off of the globe. That's not going to happen. Man, you know, look out, Hamas. It didn't go good for Rome. It didn't go good for Egypt. It didn't go good for Russia. It didn't go good for Germany. It didn't go good for Spain. It didn't go good for anybody that has stood against Israel. And it's not going to go good for Hamas. And it's not going to go good for the kings of the East. And it's not going to go good for Gog and Magog. And we know exactly how it's going to end. Let's stay a friend of Israel. Promised land. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15 and verse 18. Oh, I wrote this down. Here's something I wrote down. Talking about Israel trying to be destroyed. This is modern day history. 1948, you know it and I know it. Radio Tel Aviv crackled that Israel was free. The message was sent out. Israel was now a nation again. After hundreds and hundreds of years, they're back in the land. Miracle of miracles. Man, you know that Jesus is coming soon. 1948, five Arab armies, even having RAF fighters, suffered a humiliating defeat against a Jewish militia. They tucked their tails between their legs and ran in the other direction. 1967, the Six-Day War. Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon marched on Israel. Egypt alone had 100,000 troops, 950 tanks, and 600 aircraft, most of them MiG fighter jets. Once again, hopelessly outnumbered, Israel prevails. 1973, I remember this. I was in high school. I remember thinking, man, Jesus is coming soon. Egypt and Syria, a surprise attack upon Israel on the feast day Yom Kippur. Again, humiliated in battle. In 2016, some of you can remember this very clearly, and you can look this up. A strange, unexplained storm cloud stopped Syria at the Syria-Gaza border, stopped the Arab nations from invading Israel. And NASA said this storm cloud was unusual in the fact that it was made up of dust and water, and it stopped them dead in their tracks so that Israel could prepare. God's hand is on that nation. I didn't share some of the stuff that I cannot for sure verify. But I've heard them from people that are, I completely trust, Jimmy DeYoung. I've heard them from, I remember listening to a cassette tape years ago when I was way back in Bible college from the general there in the IDF for Israel, and how God miraculously intervened for them in tank battles. And how some of the Egyptian soldiers said there were soldiers dressed in white in the desert that they could not get beyond. And I'm just telling you, if God has to intervene that way, He'll intervene that way, because the Abrahamic covenant is going to be fulfilled. I don't want to be against God. I want to be a friend of Israel. Now, Israel needs to be born again. We need to bring them to Christ so they become Messianic Jews. But Israel, the purpose again of the tribulation, it's called Jacob's trouble, Jacob's sorrow. It's to bring Israel back to God. Israel, God is not finished with Israel. God did not fail Israel. This is all going to be fulfilled. It's a promised land. Say, what is the promised land? Look at Genesis in chapter 17 and verse 8. Genesis 17 and verse 8. A And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4, it's mentioned again and again, 46 times. You say, well, what is the land of Israel? What is the promised land? Here it is. Listen carefully. Everything modern Israel occupies right now, including the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, some of Egypt, Syria, all of Jordan, some of Saudi Arabia, and Iraq. The title is clear. It's signed in heaven. It's a done deal. That is the promised land. And it will blossom again. God made those promises. There is no more disputed piece of real estate in the entire earth. But it has a God ironclad guarantee. This land belongs to Abraham's seed. That's powerful. So the people of Israel, they're a patriarchal people. Abraham was a family man. They're a precious people, a promised people, a protected people. They have the promised land. And then there's the purchased people. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. Israel is a favored nation. Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah. John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. All right? So they turned their back on Jesus, all part of the plan of God. Jesus went to Calvary. He ascended. He died on the cross, went to the grave, rose from the grave, ascended on up into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit of God. Now with 2,000 years of church history, again, it is God's mercy giving the whole world another chance. And for every Gentile that's here, you, that's had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you be thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. And understand Israel was the one that carried the oracles of God. The book of Romans tells us that. They were given the word of God. And Israel carried the ball all through the Old Testament. And now Israel's turned their back on God, but God's not through with Israel. Once this church age is done, he raptures his church. Then we come to Jacob's trouble, and God is not finished with Israel. No replacement theology here. The church of Jesus Christ is not going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. The Church of Jesus Christ is a bridge between Old Testament Israel and the Millennial Kingdom. Actually, the rapture. The Church of Jesus Christ is God being merciful to the world in which we live all over again. And I'm thankful for it. And we who are not a people are now a people. How many of us can say we're seeds of Abraham? How many in the auditorium can say, well, yeah, I'm a Jew. In my lineage, I'm a Jew. Not many. It says here in verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that's bought, that ye may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a peculiar people. We have been purchased by the very blood of the Lamb of God, the blood atonement. I'm going to heaven because Jesus purchased me on the cross. He provided for me salvation. We're that peculiar people. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people. What kind of spiritual heritage do you have? Say, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist, whatever you want. What kind of spiritual heritage is that? Think about that. The Bible says we who are not a people are now a people. When I got born again, I became somebody. I became a child of God. I would go as far as saying spiritual Israel, that wild branch that's grafted into the vine, that doesn't really belong there, but God in his mercy allows us to come. Praise God for the church age. Praise God for the gospel of grace. What opportunities we have. We who are not a people, we're not a people, are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let me say this, and I will say two more things. There is no two-state solution in the land of Israel. Because Hamas and the other side, they're not interested in the land. For them, it's from the river to the sea. You say, how could they have such hatred for a people group inspired of Satan? You could trace it back in Bible history. You can't make peace with someone who wants the other side exterminated. So as much as what any politician will tell you, that's a pipe dream. There is no two-state religion. But a king is coming. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he's that king, he's the one that's going to bring peace. There won't be any peace not before that. You say, well, preacher, what are we supposed to do then? Number one, pray for Israel. Go to Psalm 122, 122nd Psalm. Turn there as quickly as you can. Psalm 122. First thing we're to do is pray for Israel. It says in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. We are commanded by God to pray for the peace of Israel. And we need to pray for the salvation of the Jews. And we need to pray for the salvation of the Palestinians. And we need to pray for the salvation of all the 46 Arab nations that surround the nation Israel, that little nation the size of New Jersey with about 9 million people in it. And it's unbelievable that it's the center of the earth and all the attention of the world is settled there, and it's going to continue to be there until the King of Kings, he returns to this earth. What a God we serve. I'm to pray for the peace of Israel, number one. And number two, I am to reach the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. Let's keep our eye on the ball. Don't get your devotions from the news anchor. Get your devotions from the Word of God. Amen. Read the scripture, keep your eye on the ball. You know what God cares about? Cares about Israel, yes, but he's going to take care of it. And we get to be part of some of the blessings if we pray for them. And God will prosper us if we pray for him. That's what the psalmist said. But I also need to care about my neighbor. He's going to hell. My coworker that doesn't know Jesus. That's why the church is here. That, again, is God and his mercy giving this whole world another chance. Abraham, 46 times, Abrahamic covenant. He left the land of Ur, a wicked and idolatrous and a nation full of abominations. The whole world was that way. And it was only 10 generations removed from Noah. And Noah raised his family and lived in a world that was wicked and full of abominations. And there was marriage and given in marriage and all kinds of sodomy and wickedness in the world. And Noah was the one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was the one man that was serving God. And he was removed only 10 generations from Adam. In a period of 20 generations, man had completely messed up everything. Twice. The last thing I'm going to put my faith in is the machinery of man. Amen. I know there's a God in heaven that made a promise to Abraham. There's a God in heaven that ordained the New Testament local church. There's a God in heaven that gave us a book that tells us all about it. I know there's a God of heaven that's going to look down to his son one day very soon and say, son, go get your church. I'm ready to deal with Israel again. And the trumpet's going to sound, and the church is going to be raptured. And then God is going to turn his attention on Israel. And Israel is going to turn back to God. It'll be through a series of judgments. But Israel will find the Messiah. His name is Jesus. And God made some promises to Abraham. And there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom. And the capital of the world is going to be Jerusalem. And the Canaanites are not going to be running it. Neither are the Republicans or the Democrats. There's going to be a king. And you'll see it on the throne of David. As a matter of fact, you read the Old Testament prophets, King David is going to be the vice regent of all the earth. This whole world's going to be a completely different place. That 1,000-year kingdom where Christ rules with a rod of iron could be a wonderful time. But we're here right now. Don't take your eye off the ball.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.